Friday, the 7th of February, 7 games. A little bit of injury news for tomorrow. Some interesting performances, some returns tonight. So not a ton to talk about, but we've still got enough for a show. I think this is the Friday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. All righty. We have 7 games. We had some interesting results. Let's just quickly go through the top 10 players for today. Number 1, Walker Kessler, Muhammad Gay, Devin Booker, Bobby Portis, Alex Caruso, Grayson Allen, Gary Trent, Miles Bridges, Nick Richards, De'Aaron Fox. So quite a few names in there that probably warrant a little bit of discussion. Let's get into the games. The first game, the Spurs and the Hornets, a good game here. Charlotte got out pretty big early. Spurs came back. Spurs had a chance to win it. De'Aaron Fox thought he had won it, but his shot was ruled to have been after the final buzzer, siren, whistle, whatever we want to call it. So the Charlotte Hornets, do we say they accidentally got a win? They got a win, 117-116. Let's start with the Spurs. Devin Vassell had 15-4-1. It's fine, not exciting. Wemby, also fine, not exciting. 16 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 5 blocks. It's usually the offense. That's the up and down portion of his game at this point. And that usually just comes down to efficiency. He was 1 of 9 from 3. I have no idea why half of his shots are coming from 3 when he is up against Charlotte and Taj Gibson and Musa Diabate. But anyway, whatever. Fox had 22-6 with 4 steals, so he has slotted in quite well. Chris Paul had 6-7 with a steal. I think he's going to hold on to value here, but it's really going to be on the back of assists and steals only. Steph Castle, who played 21 minutes in the last game and did very little, he had 33 points here. Not much else. He was just red hot, played 31 minutes. People are going to run and add him after this. That's fine. I wouldn't buy into this just yet. He was ultra efficient. They really just let him go because he was playing so well. Harrison Barnes played 22 minutes with 8 points. So I do think this was sort of a perfect storm kind of thing for Castle. But look, if you want to go and add him and see, then by all means, go ahead. I'm just not convinced he's going to play 31 minutes every night. And Keldon Johnson's going to play 16. Sohan, 24. Harrison Barnes, 22. I could be wrong, so go and grab him if you want to. For Charlotte, we had LaMelo Ball back in the lineup. Just picked up where he left off, really. No steals. I would have loved a steal here from him. But 24 points, 10 assists, 4 rebounds, 9 of 26 from the field. He's going to take a ton of shots, he and Miles Bridges. Bridges had 25 points as well. He continues to play very well. Musa Diabate, he did start, as we had been told he would. Now, obviously, no Nurkic in this game. But Nurk really just comes in and takes the Taj Gibson minutes. Diabate played 33, which is honestly more than I thought he would. Whether he plays this many when Nurkic is healthy, I don't know. Make sure he's rostered. 9 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. So yeah, I mean, no defense here either. And that's a, probably an element of his game that we're going to see a little bit more of moving forward. Nick Smith had 19, 6 and 5 in his 34 minutes. So we really just want to see what happens here in the next game. Alfred Payton came in. Obviously, they signed him to a 10-day contract. They have Dalton Kinect to come back. They have Josh Green to come back. They have Yusuf Nurkic to come back. So that's sort of potentially three or four rotation players. Yeah, so I think Diabate probably comes down a little bit. Daquan Jeffries just won't play. I think Kinect will just come in there. It's whether they start Nick Smith and go with a smaller lineup or not. That remains to be seen. All right, Cleveland at Washington. Closer probably than people might have expected. 134-124. Cavs get the win. Mobley, 27 points, 7 rebounds, a steal, a block. Very nice night for him, which against the Wizards, always an opportunity for players to put up stats. Struce had 17, 5, and 3. Do remember this came without DeAndre Hunter. So where does he fit in here? There's going to be a little bit of a, I guess we want to exercise some caution with overreacting to some performances tonight because teams are without the players that they traded away and have not yet absorbed the players that they got back. So Ty Jerome, I talked about him being a pickup tonight. He had 13, 5, and 3 with a steal. So he was a pickup, but what happens when DeAndre Hunter comes in? That's probably 28 to 30 minutes that will have to go somewhere. I mean, most of them will come off Craig Porter, Jalen Tyson. We don't need Tristan Thompson out there, obviously, or Emily Bates. So, yeah, look, I mean, Struce is fine if you want to pick up someone and you just need threes, but I wouldn't guarantee a night like this all too often. And for the Wizards as well, no Kuzma, but they have Marcus Smart, they have Chris Middleton to come in. So what does this rotation look like in two games' time? I think we can be pretty certain that Bilal Coulibaly is a must-roster player. 42 minutes, 16, 6 and 4, 3 steals. Jordan Poole, obviously, must-roster player as well. 45 points on 16 of 32 shooting. That's a lot of shots. So we know that they're must-roster players. Then we get into our sort of question marks. Keyshawn George, Bob Carrington. George was good, 17, 5 and 2, 3 steals, 4 threes. He has been decent the last couple. I'd probably prefer him over Bob Carrington. I just think he has the ability to do more. Look, Carrington's fine as well if you want to take a chance on him. Maybe Middleton and Smart don't really play a lot. I think they will. I think they will play at least for the foreseeable future, which is going to impact those guys undoubtedly, but to the point where they aren't playing over 30 minutes, I'm not so sure. Rashawn Holmes started. He had 12 and 12 with a block in his 31 minutes. If they're going to go with him as the starter until Saar is back, you probably have to stream in Rashawn Holmes. Vukcevic, only 16 minutes. 7, 4 and 4 with a steal is not terrible. It's not great either. He was a plus 10 in a game they lost by 10. So that's encouraging. The question here is what do they do when Saar is back? Do they move Holmes out of the rotation and keep Vukcevic as the backup? Or do they just sort of shuffle everyone down and Holmes plays the backup? All right, Miami at Brooklyn, another accidental win, maybe. Brooklyn get the victory, 106 to 82 over the Heat. They are without their traded players. No Jimmy Butler, of course, he's gone. Hayward Highsmith continues to do very little despite starting. We might have to start giving the Tony Snell or calling the Tony Snell Award the Hayward Highsmith Award because he doesn't do much at all. Khalil Ware had 10 and 14 with a steal and a block. So a little bit better. They went with some weird rotations down the stretch here and lost to Brooklyn. So, yeah, I'm not sure why they don't have Khalil Ware out there a bit more. Duncan Robinson had two threes. He's just a threes streamer. Jovic, not his best night. Two steals to go with 8 points, four assists. He remains a must roster player, I think. Rozier has looked better. Is he back? I'm not going to go that far just yet. He had 24 and two with a steal. If you want to grab him, I think it's probably okay. But yes, look at the names down here. We've got Andrew Wiggins to come in. We've got Kyle Anderson. I think we'll come in somewhere. At worst, Alec Burks is also floating around, as is Kevin Love. So yeah, these players again are going to lose out here. We don't know who that is. For Brooklyn, no Ben Simmons. He's on the way out. We don't know where yet, but he will be on the way out. Cam Johnson had 18. We roster him. Nick Claxton had 12 and 10, four blocks, two steals, 31 minutes. If we were guaranteed 31 minutes, he's a must roster player, and he probably is anyway, to be fair, even in 26 minutes. But a nice night for him. Dayron Sharpe played the backup minutes. It was a perfect, just a minute split here. 17 minutes for him. 9, 6, and 2 with two blocks. Look, I think we still classify him as a stash, but he's actually doing enough to be rostered, I think, as long as your expectations aren't too high at the moment. If he can continue to get close to 20 minutes, it probably makes him a 12-teamer. Keon Johnson, he'd been playing pretty consistently. And look, this is the issue with the Nets and why I've sort of said we probably can just avoid them. He'd been playing 30 minutes consistently. He plays 23 in this one. D'Angelo Russell, 26 minutes, 17 points, two steals, one assist. That's a 12-team line, but what the hell happens in the next game? Zaire Williams had 32 minutes after some down games. He had 8-9 with two steals. Watford came off the bench for 12-4-3 with a steal and a block. That's a 12-team line. Jalen Wilson did nothing in 17 minutes. It's impossible to predict this rotation. So if you can avoid them, I would. Claxton, Sharp, Johnson, Cameron Johnson, that is. Probably, I still think Keon Johnson is probably the pick of the rest. I like Watford. I think if he was guaranteed minutes every night, I'd enjoy having him on my roster. But yeah, we're not at that point. And I don't know if we ever will be. Philadelphia. Yeah, pretty poor effort for them. They lose to the Cadeless Detroit, 125 to 112. Some goings on the Philadelphia bench between Joel Embiid and Kelly Oubre. Embiid basically, from what you could tell, he basically had an issue with Kelly Oubre's lack of energy defensively. He was just trotting back. To be fair, I don't think Embiid was moving that quickly either. He probably can't. I don't know. Anyway, it's welcome to Philly, I suppose. Paul George, terrible. 14 points, nothing else in 30 minutes. It's good that he played, but yeah, he's not doing a lot when he's on the court. Justin Edwards had 11 and 3 with two steals in his 30 minutes. Embiid, look, the numbers here are fine. 23 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. He had 2 blocks. Shot the ball poorly. Decent from the free throw line. Team worst, minus 19. I'm just glad I don't have him on my roster. Tyrese Maxey, he cooled off a little bit here. 27 points, 7 assists, 2 steals. Still good counting stats, but he too was a minus 19. And Kelly Oubre had 14 and 11 with a steal and a block. So we continue to roster him, Maxey, Embiid, Paul George. Edwards, I think, will eventually move out, but that is assuming that Philly stay healthy and keep playing their guys. Honestly, if I was Philly, I'd probably pack it in, but I don't know whether they will. Quentin Grimes, 28 minutes, 14 points. So the production's fine. The minutes are encouraging. He did play over Kyle Lowry, over Eric Gordon, which is what we want to see. I think if he can stick it around 28 minutes, he's probably a back-end 12-team guy. For Detroit, there was no Cade Cunningham. He was out first night of a back-to-back, I believe. So, or is it? Maybe it is. Let me have a look. Someone probably knows, but I'll have a look. Where's my team that I've got him on? There we go. Saturday, does Cade Cunningham play tomorrow? Oh, he does not. Okay, so no, it was not the first night. That's my mistake. Dealing with the ankle thing, look, maybe Detroit thought this was an easy game that they could win without him, and I guess they were right. Tobias Harris, he was productive, 22-9-3 with a steal. Sar Thompson, pretty good night for him as well, 27 minutes, 14-8-6. Jalen Duren, even, I mean, this shows, I guess, how, not how bad Embiid has been, but the fact that Jalen Duren can come out and get 13-13 with 7 assists in 20 minutes before fouling out against Joel Embiid, he's not the player he once was, that's for sure. Tim Hardaway continues to struggle, but Malik Beasley moved into the starting lineup and had 36 points, 9 threes. Someone asked me, I think, on the pregame show, who is a good streamer for a points league today? I think it was points league. And I said Tobias Harris or Beasley. Hopefully they went with one of those guys. Both were pretty good here. Look, we got a little bit of Marcus Sasser here, some Simone Fontecchio. They do have Dennis Schroeder to come in. So, and Cade Cunningham obviously will come back in as well. So, yeah. Harris, Thompson, Duren, Beasley, Cade, they're probably the five that we are rostering at this point. The Bucks fall to the Hawks in Atlanta. Good win for Atlanta. They were down, I want to say they were down by a bit. I was checking in on the score and watching little bits of this one, but they rally back. They are a team that is fairly good at rallying back and winning games. There was no Giannis. That's his third missed game. So just something to tuck away in the back of your mind. If you have him on your roster, I'm sure it's not in the back of your mind. If he is not on your roster and you're looking to maybe acquire him, maybe there's a buy low opportunity if his manager is a little bit concerned about this these injuries. Bobby Portis, we know when Giannis is out, we have to add Bobby Portis. He should be added anyway, really. Lillard had a strong night, 23-9-10. Obviously, no Giannis there. Gary Trent, I mentioned him at the top. He was one of our best performing players today, 19 points with 3 steals. I mean, his value comes from threes and steals. That's it. And it was his night tonight. Kyle Kuzma came off the bench, played 24 minutes, had 12.7 rebounds. I'd probably, look, if he's available, probably isn't, but if he is, I would consider him. But if you've missed out on him or you're umming and ahhing about whether to add him, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it if you don't grab him. I mean, this he'll play more than this, I think, but we have to add Giannis back in here too. So, I'm not high on Kuzma anyway. For the Hawks, we had Dominic Barlow starting, so no Caris LeVert here. He will come in for the next game, we assume. Not sure if he starts. I thought they might go with Nance here, but with Giannis out, they didn't have to. Barlow started. He had 7-4. We're not adding him. Kongwu had 14-12 in his 28 minutes. Reese Shea, this is what he's going to be. Mid-teens, basically nothing else. He had 13 points, 3 rebounds. Only 20 minutes. He's a little bit Kyle Kuzma-y, a little bit DeAndre Hunter-y. If you want to roster him, fine. I don't think I've got him anywhere. Dyson Daniels had 15-6-10 with a steal. Trae Young, 24-7. It was their bench. Their bench did a lot of the damage in this one, got them back into the game. Vic Krejci had 11-10 in his 31 minutes. Muhammad Gay, 15-12, 2 steals, 4 blocks. I don't think I'm adding him here, only because we have got LeVert to come back in. We have got Clint Capella at some point to come in as well, and Terrence Mann. George Niang. There's bodies here that are going to make an appearance at some point. Mohamed Gaye has been interesting, though, over the last 1 to 2 weeks. He's had a sort of an unexpected opportunity. Someone to watch. I wouldn't be prioritising. Remember, you don't get this game. So Larry Nance, 11 and 4 in his 20 minutes. Not really enough. And again, bodies to come back. V. Krejci's really hard to get a read on at the moment. The 31 minutes, the production is fine. Just a little bit inconsistent for me. And again, I think that the return of Caris LeVert, or the not the return, but the debut of Caris LeVert will impact him as well. All right, Toronto at OKC. We had a fairly comfortable, in the end, win, 121-109 for the Thunder. Let's start with Toronto. No Brandon Ingram, as we know. No RJ Barrett, continues to sit out with his concussion. Scotty Barnes didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He actually finished a lot better than he started, 21 points on 8 of 20 shooting, but he did have 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 blocks, 3 steals, 4 threes. So doing everything but scoring the ball efficiently. Grady Dick had 17, 7 and 1. While all these guys are out, he is fine. Emmanuel Quickley had 6 points with 10 assists. The minutes are pushing back up, which is good, 28. Unfortunately, the production hasn't been where we would want to see it. The 10 assists are very encouraging, though. You just hold him and hope that this gets better. Ochai Agbaji played 30 minutes. Jonathan Mobo started at center, 10 and 4, 2 steals. I guess if you want to roster him for the short term, you could. Once Poeltl is back, obviously he won't have much of a role. Orlando Robinson, 6-5 and 4. I'd love to see him in there as the starting center. No idea when Poeltl is coming back. So Robinson really just deeper leagues. Jacoby Walter had 12 points. Jamal Shedd, 7 points, both sort of in that range of 22 to 23 minutes. So hard to know here. Wait until we get Ingram back, which, yeah, look, I mean, is that going to be before the All-Star break? We don't know. This is like the worst ankle sprain in history, apparently. And we'll also get RJ Barrett back in the next game or two. For the Thunder, Chet Holmgren returned after however long he was out. Only played 22 minutes. He had 4 blocks. He had 2 steals. Only 4 points on 2 of 5 shooting, but good to have him out there. The minutes will be slow. They will ramp him up. There's just no need to rush him. Interestingly, started alongside Chet Holmgren here. Alongside Isaiah Hartenstein. I don't think this is necessarily what we're going to see moving forward. They were without Lou Dort and Kaysen Wallace. So I'm pretty certain Kaysen Wallace will come back into that starting lineup. They will roll this lineup at times. Lou Dort will come in. Hartenstein had 12 and 6 with 2 steals in his 26 minutes. I mean, they didn't have to push the starters too much here. So again, not a super accurate reflection. Hartenstein's going to take a bit of a hit. You could probably argue the point that he may actually be better coming off the bench in this situation and not having to share the floor with Chet as much. So, yeah, we're just holding him and we're seeing how this plays out, but it could be 2 to 3 weeks before we know for sure. Isaiah Joe had 4 threes off the bench. Caruso had 3 steals and a block. So if you stream them in tonight, they were fine. Jalen Williams, 27, 5, and 4 in his 33 minutes. And the final game of the night went into overtime. That's why we were a little bit late starting tonight. Utah fall eventually to the Suns, 135 to 127. For the Jazz, they were without Colin Sexton. They were without Jordan Clarkson. So it was not Keontae George who started. It was Fee Mikaeluk. He had 2 threes. He can just be that 3-point streamer when they are down on troops a little bit. Collier, another nice night for him, 15 and 13 with a steal. Keontae came off the bench, 18 points, 4 assists, 1 block. So he is a must-roster player as well. Markkanen had 20 and 7, John Collins 21 and 6, two blocks, one steal. Both very clear must roster players, but very frustrating in terms of missed games. Walker Kessler had 19 points, 22 rebounds, three blocks, one steal. Up against Nick Richards, not at all surprising. And our Filipowski, Sensabaugh, Johnny Juzang, Stash, Stream, whatever we want to call it, we aren't there yet. For Phoenix, they were without Bradley Beal. They were without Kevin Durant. So we got Royce O'Neal and we got Grayson Allen starting. Grayson Allen had 21 points, all from the three-point line with two steals and a block. So a nice performance if you streamed him in tonight. Royce O'Neal also good enough, 12, 3, and 4 with four blocks. Tyus Jones had a pretty good game for him. A little bit like when you play Charlotte or Brooklyn, though, you sort of take these numbers with a grain of salt to some degree. 16, 6, and 6 for Tyus Jones. Devin Booker obviously just took over this game with no Beal, no Durant. Nick Richards had 12 and 14 with four blocks, but only 23 minutes. So the minutes are concerning there. They just went with Mason Plumlee a lot. They went with some Bol Bol. Don't go and add Bol Bol, please. He's not good. 12 and 3, three blocks. He can put up numbers when he plays minutes, but he just hasn't played and he won't play significant minutes. Plumlee had 2.6 rebounds, two steals, one block. We're not adding him either. So Richards is still the center we want to have, but yeah, the minutes are a little bit underwhelming, I think. And that's it. Pretty sure that's all the games. It is all the games. Let's do some quick questions before I go and barbecue in the rain, potentially. Or maybe I'm not going to get wet. Oh, no, I'm probably not. That's good. All right. Top three standouts from tonight's game that I think are worth rostering. So if we're looking at players that aren't rostered or may have been dropped, let's have a look. Well, I'd say Moussa Diabate. If he hasn't been added, I would go and add him. A lot of streaming. Like I said, tonight you have to just ease the gas a little bit on these guys like Grayson Allen, Gary Trent. Who else would be in that bucket there? Royce O'Neal. Yeah, Steph Castle. So there's some names I wouldn't be running to add just because of things have to happen. Diabate would be one. Keyshawn George might be another one. He's played well in a couple of games. He has an interesting two-way game, so I'd much rather him than Bub Carrington at this point. So he's probably another one. Steph Castle on 50-50 on. I'm not buying into that just yet. Who else? Davron Sharp, I don't mind if he's available, but his ceiling is pretty capped at the moment. Who else would be in that discussion? Grimes. Grimes, maybe. Look, I think Rashawn Holmes, but again, that's a pretty limited thing. Koulibaly, I'm assuming he's not rostered he's not available anywhere. So he's one of the more obvious ones. So there's a few there. I still think Dalton Connect is someone we want to go and add here as well. Ryan Porteous, how would I rank these holds going forward? I need to drop four when your IR is healthy. That's forward planning. Who knows if your IR is ever going to be fully healthy? Who would I rank these holds? Okay. Heald, Nurkic, Buzelis, Keon Johnson, Nick Smith, Keyshawn George. Points league. Okay, Buzelis I would hold. Nick Smith I would hold. I think my drops would be Nurkic, Heald, Keon Johnson. So I'd have Buzelis, Nick Smith, Keyshawn George as my priorities to hold, and then Heald, Nurkic, and Keon Johnson. Is it worth grabbing Keyshawn for Hunter in a 9-cat league? Maybe. Hunter, I mean, Hunter's very one-dimensional. He's probably slightly safer, only because we've seen him sort of all season have decent enough value. But he's pretty limited. I mean, he's probably going to be like 15, 16 points with a couple of threes. That's really it. Keyshawn George is a little bit more. Like, he'll only be 12 points, but he'll get you some assists. He'll get you some steals. So I'd be okay. Yeah, if you don't desperately need the points, I'd be fine with that. Zip asks, 10-team 9-cat Roto, punting free throws. Ooh, punting in Roto, I like that. Thinking about dropping Andrew Wiggins and Keyonte George for Bilal and Collier. Who do I prefer rest of season? Yeah, Keyonte George and Bilal and Collier are interesting. Look, that probably comes down to do you need points or assists, I think. If you need points, I'd go Keyonte George. If you need Collier, if you need assists, I'd go Collier. Bilal would be the probably my preference there. Wiggins, yeah, look, Wiggins, I'm just not sure. Wiggins is probably still top of that list for me. I'd probably go Wiggins and Bilal over George and Collier, I think. Michael Mendes. Oh, you were the Keyshawn one. Also thinking of dropping Alvarado or Struce for Grayson Allen, Barb or Nembhard in a 9-cat 12-team league. I don't think any of them are must roster players in a 12-team league, honestly. I think you could. I think Alvarado, Struce, Grayson Allen, Barb, Nembhard. I think they're all top 150, maybe. Barb, you probably take a bit of a flyer on him. Nembhard's been relatively safe of late, so maybe you could add Nembhard over Alvarado. And then Struce, Grayson Allen, they're both just threes guys. Bub has a little bit of assists upside, but he's been very unproductive. So, yeah, look, maybe Nembhard and then Struce, Grayson Allen, Bub, much of a muchness. McDaniels or Collier. These are all back-end guys, so I really don't think it matters too much because if you whichever one you pick, I don't – if one of these guys had the upside to be top 80, top 60, something like that, I would say yes, go and add them. But I don't see any of these guys having that upside. McDaniels or Collier in a points league. Maybe Collier. Again, pretty close. Will Ware lose value and Wiggins and Anderson are active? I hope not. Potentially we're just taking a little bit off the top, but I still think he could be top 50, top 60 rest of season. Do I think Vooch or Klax get shut down? Knowing the Bulls, probably not Vooch. Claxton, I could see it. If he gets injured, then yes, they could make the most of an injury and just shut him down. I did hear that Payton got signed by the Hornets. Yes, we will see. He was available to play today but didn't, which is not surprising. Bain went from out indefinitely to questionable. Yeah, I mean, this injury was always week to week, and those week to week ones, players usually do just pop straight up as questionable. Asar or Sohan, rest of season? I think probably Sohan, but it's very close. Again, both are probably outside the top 100. So, yeah, Sohan's probably a slightly better rebounder. Asar Thompson is a slightly better defender, if that helps. Nurk is a drop. If Nurk is a drop because Hornets, is Matas Buzelis must roster even when Lonzo comes back? Yes, I think he is. Quick points league rating of these guys. Dropping one of the bottom two, grabbing the top two. All right, Tari, Yabusele, Kamara, Tobias, Caruso, Buzelis in a points league. Caruso would be at the bottom. Tobias would be near the top. Dropping one of the bottom two. The drop would be Caruso quite comfortably for me. The top two that I would grab would be Tobias and looking at Kamara, Buzelis, maybe Tari Eason. Once Van Fleet's back, I think Tari Eason takes a bit of a bump down, and then once Jabari Smith is back, he takes a bump down as well. Kamara is, I think, will just play what he's been playing, so he is relatively safe. Buzelis, don't think we've seen his best yet. I think Kamara is probably the safest. If you want to go Tobias and Kamara, I think that's okay. Is Valanciunas a drop in a 14-teamer? I think he might be. Yeah, he's only going to play 15 minutes a night. Steve's question. Yeah, meant if I have to drop Nurk if he's playing 15 minutes. Yeah, I think he'd need to get to 20 to be a must roster player. But if you do, if you are rostering, you could hold him. But I would certainly have Buzelis over him. RVD, what NBA teams am I hoping play in Melbourne come October? Yeah, so we talked about this last night on the crossover, hoping to get down to Melbourne to watch. The venue that they're playing the games at isn't ideal. If you don't live in Australia, they're playing it at, I think it's at Marvel Stadium, which is a football stadium. And they've played, I think it's where the Boomers played the United States last year. And atmosphere was very good, but apparently the certain seats, the viewing was not great. You couldn't see much. So hoping that they address that this time, but still hoping to get down there and watch it. Who would I hope come to play? Well, I would hope it would be teams that I haven't seen that I want to see. Who would I like to see who I haven't seen? And who would come, I guess, is the question. I think it's only preseason games, isn't it? So hopefully all the players come as well. That's always a risk with a preseason game. Maybe I would say the Pacers. I like the Pacers, but I've seen them play four games. So I wouldn't mind seeing Atlanta, actually, if Atlanta came. And that would be very cool. But I think if this is a situation where, like they did with the Spurs, they sent them to Paris because of Wemby. If they're going to look to send Aussie players here, the Hawks could come because Dyson. The Bulls could come, I suppose. Josh Giddey. I'd like to see both those teams, I think. I think they'd be fun. They're young teams. Detroit would be fun. Just going through the teams. If it's Philly, I might not even go. Toronto would be a fun team to watch. Yeah, no one else in the East. What about the West? Houston. I'd like to see Houston play. The Thunder. Portland, maybe. I like Portland's young core. The Timberwolves. I'm sort of a Wolves fan. I don't particularly like Anthony Edwards, but I like the Wolves. Dallas might be fun because I love Anthony Davis as well. So there's a few teams, but we'll see. We'll see. Is it risky to trade Luka for LaMelo and a Men? Ooh, it's a big trade. It's risky in terms of LaMelo's injuries. Is it risky in terms of value? I don't think it's terrible. Luka's obviously the best player there, but I think at his best, LaMelo is probably a first rounder as well. And a man's probably a third rounder. So I don't think that's terrible. It's whether you trust LaMelo and the Hornets. So it's a bit risky in that sense. Joseph Kim, how are we feeling about IQ? What's his value? It's not great at the moment, is it? Hasn't been doing much. Look, I don't think he's going to be as good as we thought he might be. I had him inside my top 50 this year, I think, and I don't think we get there. Especially the acquisition of Brandon Ingram hurts him a little bit because he can handle the ball, as can Scotty Barnes, as can RJ Barrett. So they've got a lot of ball handlers on this team now. Look, I think probably if he's healthy, we're looking at top 75, maybe best case top 70, 60, maybe, but probably in that top 70 range, I think is where we're looking. All right, time for me to get out of here. Thank you, everyone, for watching along. We will be back tomorrow with a pre-game show. How many games have we got tomorrow? And when do they tip off? 7 a.m.? Oh, hang on, that's the wrong day. 7 a.m. games tip off here, my time. So I'll have to be up to do a show at around 6:30, that's probably okay. I can do that. We have one, two. We must have a few games because I know some of my rosters are stacked tomorrow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 games tomorrow. So, yes, let's do a pregame show at 6:30. So it's 2:30 Eastern. Maybe slightly before if I'm awake. Then I'll start it slightly earlier. But there will be a show. Please go and download. Please go and like. Please go and subscribe. Find us. Find Old Man Squad. Go and like all of their stuff as well. Some exciting things happening for next season with Old Man Squad. Looking forward to that. So, yeah, enjoy the rest of your day, night, wherever you are. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at FBI Basketball.